I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's The Breakdown. Jamali Maddox with The Hook.
What's up, guys? It is Jamali Maddox. I know I sound tired today because I've just been on the road a week. I've been in, where was I? I was in Estonia, I was in Latvia, I was in Finland, I was in Norway. I recorded some stuff last night. But I am going to be full of energy because today I have Getz on the podcast. If you don't know Getz, Getz is, no short words about it. He's probably one of the best MCs I think this country's produced. I think he's an amazing artist, amazing rapper, amazing MC, wordsmith, lyricist, all of that. And I'm really happy he's doing the podcast. When they said it was cut, that he would do it, you know, I was more than excited. I'm really looking forward just to breaking it down with him and really chopping up about old school grime stuff. I'm going to warn you now, this is going to be some very niche grime references happening. All right, this isn't going to be broad, and I see, you know, I got some of the people who work for the company that produced this podcast, and they're looking at me very upset right now. But I'm just telling you how it is. It's going to be niche as fuck. It's going to be grime references that people ain't going to get. This is what it is. I mean, I want to lie to you and say everyone will get it, but they might not. But you know, if you do listen, and you feel like, you know, I don't know what that is, go research it. You know, grime music is probably one of the most, you know, exciting forms of music that this country's created. And, you know, you should listen to it. Don't get put off by, you know, I don't understand it. Well, understand it. Learn to understand it. It's a great art form. It's one of, you know, it's a music I grew up with. I'm super excited to have him on. What I want to say is I'm on tour right now, doing the Vape Lord tour. I'm all around. I'm going to be in America. I'm going to be in Europe. I'm going to be in England. It's weird when I say England and Europe, like England isn't in Europe. Well, we did vote Brexit, so officially we've left. But I'm going to be on tour. Just go on my website, jamalimaddox.com. You can go on my Instagram, Jamali Maddox. You can go on my Twitter, Jamali Maddox. And come catch me on tour if you like to see me talking some crud. So we got Getz on the podcast, man. I'm super excited to do this.
Jamali.
I guess is it hard with the sort of, because grime, because I mean I you know, I'm gonna put it out there, like I've been rocking with grime since I used to go workshops.
Yeah,
I used to try to MC, and when I emphasized try, like it did go down. I found a video for me from, I used to go to a workshop in Romford. This is
never.
I was there back in the day.
And that Romford one. And that Rookid.
Yeah, Rookid.
That's where I met Rookid, bro.
You know, I'm from Ilford. So okay. Rookid was from Gans Hill.
Yeah.
So I knew Rookid back in the day. And do you know who used to DJ? FaZe Miyake.
Yes, that's how long
ago it was.
Bro, that youth club that you're talking about.
Yeah, legendary. It was Jammer's auntie used to run
there
it.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember. I was there.
And Stormman brought me there.
Yeah, you had Sketch used to MC there. Because what it was is, it was when the new Nasty Crew came in.
Yeah.
Because it was like, obviously, I know you as a part of the original, and then the sort of that, obviously that disbanded,
yeah,
which we'll get into. But then the new Nasty Crew came in. It was like Sketch, it was Griminal,
Casimo,
the white youth Casimo,
yeah.
And then, but then it had Griminal, and I remember Griminal was, I think Griminal was around my age, and used to come in his school uniform.
Do you know what? That's grim. He used to step out.
Yeah, and he used to come in his school uniform. And he used to have that one dude with him. he's more of a rapper, but he was really
brutal.
Not brutal, and Brutal was dope, but he was really, really big guy. Shocker. Was
Shocker.
It Shocker? That's yeah, right. Yeah, Shocker used to be there. Shocks. Yeah, yeah. Is he still spitting Shocker?
You know what? He will be.
I know. From what I heard, he does a lot of holidays.
But
it is what it is. But but I remember. Yeah, I used to go to Run for Workshop. And I remember when we used to go to Run for Workshop, they used to basically. So we'd come in from Ilford.
Yeah.
We'd get the train down, and then they didn't know what was going on, but all they knew that there was about 15 to 20 black youths roaming around Romford at this time. And they'd have police wait for us at the station.
Serious.
So you'd go there and they'd wait for us at the station. And it was that weird thing of like, and it's only something I've realised in my older age, is that moment. And there was, you know, and I'm not going to act like there was never problems there. Because, I mean, you've got a bunch of young teenagers in a cramped room together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's going to be, you know, it'd be less with any situation. But it was like guys, and this was like during the postcode wars, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When people were just, you know, going fucking wild in the early 2000s. And it was people from different areas all together.
Yeah, man.
With hardly any problems.
Yeah, man.
You know, and the fact that they used to send the police for us, I mean, yeah, and then you
music's a powerful, powerful thing. It's a universal language.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I said to someone the other day, what's weird is that they're saying to me, how do we all know each other?
Mm.
Like in the culture, like if someone's from this side of the culture, then everyone knows each other, or they're just one person away from knowing each other. And it's like, I said, you know what's weird? I've known artists that I'm not even super friends with for longer than I know my school friends.
Yeah. I believe it, man.
Like,
yeah.
It's like,
for years.
Like, yeah, I've known my man 12, 13 years, 14 years, 15 years.
I think there is a certain, because I'm a comedian, so that's like my forte. And it is, and it's the same with me. I've known comedians.
Yeah,
I bet you I was with this one comedian called Paul Myhawk, and I realised at the time I've been to more countries with this guy than I did with my girlfriend at the current time.
Crazy.
Do you know what I'm saying, though?
Just doing different gigs and
just
whatnot.
Just around the world with this guy. I've been like, I went Middle East with him, I went, you know, Europe with him, and it was just like, you know, and it's just that thing of, you know, and you know, you're doing the raves, you're doing like Eskimo dance, and you were doing like the Young Man Standing, Last Man Standing.
Do you know what? I was late on those. I was just getting my name up around those times. And I believe I was never booked properly for one.
Yeah.
I think I'd done one.
You ran up on stage on that one?
Yeah, I was just getting my name out there at those ones. And I started getting bookings when a guy called D-Quare was doing Beats to Battle over in Southend. I'd get in my first bookings then, like £70, £80.
Yeah.
By the time you fill up your Bridgen's tank
and
spend a little money in the BP, you get home, boy. Pick up a Benners, maybe.
That's
the money done.
It was a lemon error.
Yeah, exactly. That's
it was that lemon
done.
Error, so it was like a Benners of the lemon. And
I remember that envelope where you're thinking, is there anything in that envelope? The envelope flat.
Yeah. So how would you then? How are we talking when you're doing the, because I know, so you, we're getting to, like, I know the mixtapes and all that and the albums. Because I remember me and my brethren would, actually I warned the people before I started this is going to be some niche grime shit. So if you ain't on the grime shit, you need to learn. Because we're about to go Mr. Wong deep references.
Jeez.
But you dropped, Ghetto Gospels, and before that was 2000 to Life.
2000 and Life.
2000 and Life was before that.
Was the debut mixtape.
That was a debut, and I remember am I right in saying, and mistake me if I'm wrong, that you used to sell that, that was like hand to hand selling that, right?
That was hand to hand.
I remember seeing you outside the club in Ilford selling that hand to hand.
That was Sail and Return in the shops in West End.
Yeah.
Dark and Cold? At Dark and Cold. All the other ones, big up all the other ones, and also out of the boot, or if I had any on me at the time, wherever I was.
Yeah. How many did you shift to those?
Like 10,000.
Damn. That's big units for like, you know,
crazy. That was coming from, I used to use like the radio sets as my promotion.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'd think, okay, then radio don't play the music, but we get to go to radio to do sets. But most people were just going radio to do sets. Yeah. But I was going to radio to actually promote my CD, you know?
And radio, and this is Pirate?
Pirate Radio, that's Pirate? That's Deja Vu. That's
92.3.
Yeah, 92.3.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Rinse FM when I can. That's Heat FM.
Because Kiss Logan Summer didn't have his show by then, did he?
No, not by then. It was just all pirate by then.
Damn.
Yeah.
So you see, okay. So let's. So when you're going to doing the Beats by Battle up in South End, how old are you then?
Like 19, 20.
19. And when did you start sort of taking the music seriously? Because obviously
straight away.
Oh, straight away. Yeah, so you just straight out in the.
Straight away, I come home from incarceration.
I like you call it incarceration. Yeah. Yeah. You're an older man now, you got to put it in incarceration.
It's
true.
I come home from incarceration and was just thinking, I was inspired. Mm-hmm. I was inspired by Titch. Mm. Titch is from my area, and let the truth be told, he came home a year before me. And because we're from the same area, it just seemed as if it was possible for somebody to enter the music scene, being from where I'm from, being incarcerated like I was, and do something, you know, make a difference in their own life. So I was inspired by that, and then I had known Lethal Bizzle from before, from old days. I was inspired by what Morphire was doing, obviously inspired by what Nasty Crew was doing. So I had a lot of people around me that I could draw advice from, and it would be silly of me and not to use that inspiration and place my energy into what I have done.
Yeah, I mean, I never got locked up, but it there is that sort of sense of, you know, there must be, especially seeing someone like Titch, you know, who was, you know, in the same sort of similar situation, same area, same sort of, you know, background, and see him come home and then feel as if, you know, that it doesn't. I guess as well is, I mean, it's a weird thing being from, you know, working class area, being from a, you know, area where there is poverty, and, you know, and I say that, you know, lightly. I mean, you know, there was always food on my table, but it wasn't, you know,
I didn't
live rich. My mum, I come from a single parent household, and that, and there is that certain thing of seeing showbiz, and then it being, even being from London, I mean, it must be harder if you're from fucking fuck knows nowhere and then having a dream. God knows how you're doing it, but, you know, and then being from a certain, you know, background and area, and it sort of seems this sort of unachievable, mythical thing. But I guess, did that idea kind of change when the Channel U came out, and then when all of these things started coming out? Because then did it sort of, because I know people making their home videos, and then, you know, it was being played.
You know what's weird? Like, because I had felt like I was already known when Channel U came through, like, the radio circuit, the rave sidewind, that Eskimo circuit. When Channel U came, it didn't hit me what that was for a little while. Like, it was a different demographic of people, like proper kids.
Yeah.
It was broader, so proper kids. So I remember releasing, like, Top 3 Selected on Channel U, RIP Darren as well. So I remember releasing Top 3 Selected, but I remember it having a bigger impact on the outside than it did for Channel U. I was like thinking, oh, this
what do you mean by it had a bigger
so it's like outside. It wasn't really spinning much on Channel U.
I get you,
but outside it was going off.
It mean it became more commercial than it did sort of.
No, it was like it was connected with the street, connected with the streets differently.
Okay. It
definitely connected with the streets, but I remember thinking, like, if it's connected with the streets, how come it's not spinning?
Okay, I
and
get
there,
you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I realized the demographic was much younger.
Yeah.
On Channel U.
Yeah, coming when Top 3 Selected came out, and it was that sort of. You know, because I remember it was that sort of change of, and because there was no clashing for a little while, because you had sort of Lord of the Mics that came out. I remember I want to talk about when you clash Napa, wash your jeans, and that stuff. But and that was kind of like another revamp. I think that's why, you know, for me, I'm just saying as a fan of, you know, grime music and sort of being it kind of had the essence of the clash that kind of wasn't there for a couple of years. Do you know what I'm saying? Everyone was sort of more worried about, you know, people making more, you know, commercial songs and stuff.
You know what? The clashing thing, I'll be very honest with you. It's like, no radio, no TV. It was just a way to promote. And not something I ever wanted to get stuck in.
Did you enjoy clashing?
Not really. I always enjoyed, my biggest joy is making bodies of work. Like, I never forget just that feeling of having enough tunes that you can put on a CD and roll to and listen to yourself.
Mm.
Like, I'll never forget that feeling ever. Mm. Like, it happens every time I do it again and again now.
And what's the feeling?
It's like, whoa, a chapter, another chapter.
Mm.
I remember that first chapter, 2000 in life, getting a call from my cousin. I used to record in a Rainham youth club.
Mm.
My cousin had the keys to the studio. And I remember him ringing and saying, ah, bro, the studio's been nicked. And I just remember just feeling mad, disheartened,
mm.
because I had to record everything again because we didn't have the parts, we didn't get to the mixing process yet. I just think, I just thought, you know what? Minor, man, let's just do it again. I'd done it again, and I just remember getting to the end of that and feeling like, yo, a body of work. You got to remember, the only bodies of work to exist at this time, Home Sweet Home,
mm-hmm.
Boy in the Corner,
mm.
J2K Heat in the Streets.
Mm.
Outside of that,
Treading on Thin Ice, sorry. Yeah.
There you go, you hit me. Outside of that, I don't think there was any bodies of work.
Not of grime, no.
Not of grime.
No.
So I was...
Yeah.
And because I feel like everyone always puts me in that class,
mm.
but they forget, yeah, I'm the only one to survive from my actual class. So they put me in that class, because my class is Napa, Shizzle...
Shizzle, what happened to Shizzle?
Okay, he's good, man. He's doing his thing, man. Good, I see him not too long ago. He's definitely doing his thing, man. Yeah. Doing the promotion thing.
Yeah.
There was loads of us.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
There was loads of us from that class. I weren't in the class of like.
Yeah.
The Kano, the DWE, this Sharky, this is their man are all before me.
Yeah, because I would put you in the sort of class of that, the sort of generation back. And I think do you think partly it's because you was in Nasty Crew.
Part of it's because I'm in Nasty Crew, but then it's because I'm the only one here now from my class.
Yeah, with Shark. I mean, with Sharky's coming. I mean, there is a revival, so we'll put that.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
There.
No, but Sharky's before me. This is what I'm saying.
No. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I'm agreeing
with
you.
They're all like Sharky's my bridging from the roads.
Yeah.
So like, these men are all years before me. Like Stormin, RIP. Sharky. This is all years. Like these times, I'm on the roads.
Mm.
Like, these are my bridges that can rap, and I'm rolling to them. Like, you know what I'm saying? When I'm in jail, I'm ringing them. Like,
did you want to rap when you was on the road?
Yeah, you did. I'm ringing them from jail. Like, yo, fam, hear this lyric. What do you think of this? Like, you know what I'm saying? So when people say to me, yeah, I've been listening to you since 2000, and I'm like, I feel like I don't want to be rude, but I came home in 2003.
I mean, for the mixtape for 2000.
My first CD was 2005.
I mean, unless they were listening to your jail conversations in the phone.
Yeah, then, bro.
unless Sharky Major was recording your jail conversations.
I'm like, I don't know how.
I get you though. So, it's interesting you say that. And, this is me being honest with you, because you and Sharky Major.
Yeah.
Sharky Major, just for people out there so you can keep up, Sharky Major was one of the founding members of Nasty Crew.
Sharky Major's like, to me, the first lyricist on grime.
One of the best. And he was sort of rapping, but on grime beats. Yeah, and it was just something different, you know. And
100.
But then like, you know, I'd say, you know, my opinion, I don't mean to beg it or nothing, but you know, I think you're probably one of the best lyricists. I mean, you're... Thank my you, favorite
bro.
MC.
Thank you. Well, that means a
I've
lot.
Been,
you know?
I've been screaming it for a long time. I mean, thank you, man. I remember my boy Ramon. Big up Ramon. He showed me Ghetto Gospel.
Yeah.
And I remember this, mate. I think I scratched the CD because I was playing that shit, and we're rolling around in a fucking polo. Jamal. But it's, you see that sort of level of lyricism.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's, and there's only a few people that really achieved it. Because I think grime sort of went, and you know more than me, but I'm just saying, just as an observer, I'm not a grime historian in any sense. But as an observer, right, so it's sort of like, you know, I see the lineage as sort of, people say Garage had a big influence. Yeah. UK, American rap is a smaller influence, but a lot of it is like dancehall, so you have sort of more live culture. Yeah, so it's like the raves. And when you do something live, it's hard to be lyrical. It's like that's when you got the reload bars.
So hard to be lyrical.
And we got the reload guys. I mean, you know, DWE is the king of the reloads.
I had to learn the balance because
you had to learn the balance.
Because of that, like naturally, I want to storytell. Naturally, I want to be as lyrical as possible. Until I started understanding what's weird, it's like nothing's fact, everything's opinion. And I realized one day, what is the best or who is the best? Because it's about connecting to the most people. You know, so like in my ideal world, I would write 24/7 how I wrote in my daily duppy. Like I watch my daily duppy and be like, I want to be like that 24/7, knowing fully well without those pictures and the words coming up, that's going over everyone's head.
Is that when you played the free character, you played the J?
No, that's on Grime Daily, and it's called Daily Duppy. Try and watch
The Daily Duppy. Yeah, sorry. It's when they do the freestyles. Yeah.
And like, but I know that will go over everyone's head. So then it's like knowing about having most powers. And I always do this. I have arguments with my friends. I'll be like, who's the best? Or like, so I do a thing. It's called the boxes in my head. I say, box one, performance. Box two, flow. Box three, clarity. Box four, lyricism. Box, and then I say, who ticks the most boxes?
Yeah.
Like, because when most people are talking about their best, what they're talking about is their favorite.
Yeah, or they're talking about one box. Yeah. There's people who are one box.
Yeah, one box. I'm saying, bro, if you put my man in a room with my man, he's going to eat him alive, bro. And if you put my man on a stage with my man, he's going to eat him alive, bro.
Who
ticks the most boxes?
Like, who do you think ticks the most boxes?
In the world. Like, my favorite's Jay-Z.
Jay-Z?
Yeah, like, because of how he floats through time is amazing.
He has that weird thing to stay relevant. Like, if you listen to his new album,
but he doesn't sound dated. Which is amazing for someone that's been around for so long through the era where they was writing like jiggity jay, jiggity
wap. And if you listen to that now, it sounds
So what he's done is not sound dated, but doesn't copy the kids of today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see him do Amigos raps though.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so to find that balance is absolutely amazing. Like, how do you find that? Where you think of a rhyming pattern or a way to connect with people of today and still be in this and still stand up in this world today and sound flawless being that age.
Has the rhyming pattern changed in grime?
I think
because grime's had a revival.
I feel if I'm being honest here, they're gonna shoot me for this, but this is just my honesty.
Yeah.
I feel like grime doesn't evolve enough.
Yeah.
Like that's just my truth. I feel like with grime, they want something, they want it to feel nostalgic. They want it to feel how it did. Me, I'm all for evolution. Like, to be honest, don't get me wrong, there's things I love about the culture from that time, but I'm also a big advocate for trying to push the boundaries within the sound.
Do you know what I find sometimes is I will get nostalgic about grime, or about, you know, hip hop or whatever, about that certain music that resonated with me, and I'd be like, yeah, but it was just, and then what I remember is that I was just younger. So I'm just reminiscing of my age.
That's what,
as opposed to me being, oh, that was better music. Because I mean, the music is, I mean, if we're being honest, I mean, you know, some people might not like this. I think grime's better now.
I'm glad that you realised that and you said that. Because music comes attached with memories, what often happens is, because grime was this wonderful new sound, people like it to feel how it did because it comes attached with most of their best favorite memories. So when they listen to it and feel it, they feel how they did at that time.
Do you think when people say, you know, you say evolve grime, do you think people get worried? I mean, say worried, you know, but do you think people get sort of like, oh, I don't know, because of, like, there was an era where people were trying to commercialize grime, and then we sort of got certain songs, you know, that weren't, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I understand why they did them. You know what I mean? I've got some adverts on my fucking past that I wish I never did. Do you know what I'm saying? We all do things for the check, as you could say. But do you think people think evolution means that? Do you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like you see, like, you know, say you had, like, you know, Roll Deep, and then they sort of, you know, they said, fuck, we need to make something a little different. Would you shake a leg?
or whatever, then you have like, you know, the Rolex Sweep or you know, whatever these other songs that weren't grime, but it was sort
of, I feel like they weren't grime, they were grime artists doing those. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's not like, that's cool, like, if you want to go and do that.
I think it's great that they did it, but I'm saying, do you think when people, when you say evolution of grime,
no, because we're in a time where we don't need to do that at all. Like, you can be true. This is the best time to be who you actually are. Like, this is the actual best time to be exactly who you are. Just be who you are. And it will work for you.
Yeah.
You know, this is that time. In that time, nothing was going on.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, yeah, like,
people would challenge you,
like,
for anything.
Like, real life, nothing was going on. Culture was at a standstill in terms of shows and just what makes everything tick was at a standstill.
So when there was that gap, and, you know, say the last couple of years where grime came back, what was you doing within them times? Was you still, because you was in the movement?
There was a level of frustration, because I can't do those kind of songs that you just named. Just because I like rolling to my own music and feeling how I feel to my own music. I write off pure emotion, and I go into the studio with a blank page, so to speak. I don't write, but when I say blank page, so to speak, no beat. I don't like beats being sent to me. I like having the Berry Gordy effect, I call it. Like being in the studio, like, that sound, nah, not that sound, I don't like that sound, let's try this melody, playing that melody. I like doing all of that. So because I make music like that, it's based on emotion.
Do you make beats?
Nah.
Yeah. Nah. I try to make, bro,
I can just, like,
I do not understand Fruity Loop or that screen.
Yeah, it's mad.
And I'm just like, I don't know what any of this screen means. That screen cuts, I'm like, I don't know what none of that means.
The screen gives me a headache still.
Right? Yeah. And that Cubase and all of that, fam, I don't understand none of that. But so you sort of build the beat.
Yeah, around me.
Around this tune.
Yeah, all the time.
And
you
don't write your bars?
I don't write.
Why?
Yes,
it's just how it been works. Or?
Do you know what happened one day? Very honest. Writing in my phone, battery died. Realised I knew the lyric. Just wrote it. And then I was like, I think I've entered the next bit. Like, you know, like, I was like, yo.
You hit the next level.
Yeah, I was like, yo. Mad. Run that back. Done it again, flawless. Went back to the studio the next time and started writing in my head from that day on. And then that was it.
That was it forever.
That was it forever.
So let's go back. So you're so you get out, what age are you getting out?
19.
So you're 19 when you get out, and then you started spitting.
Yeah.
You coming out, you started spitting, sort of linking up with the guys that you knew from back
Nasty
in the
crew,
day.
Yeah.
Nasty Crew. Then when did you join Nasty Crew?
Like, straight away. Soon as I come off tag.
And where did you so what point was Nasty Crew at then? Had Kane already gone by then?
No.
Kane was still there.
Yeah.
And it was Monkstar still there.
Monkstar. Everyone was still there.
Oh, everyone's still there. Everyone so how long was you there before it dismembered?
I was the first newbie.
Oh.
That, you know.
Yeah. Because I heard a story. Someone was telling me a story. I spoke to Sharky Major. I done an interview with Sharky Major for some other thing. Never got made, sadly. But and he was telling me that there was a clash in Jammer's basement of Sharky Major clashed Kano.
I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, in Sharky Major's basement. I thought, I just think that would be a fucking, that would be a crazy clash.
Yeah,
I see.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
You told me
that.
Yeah,
they had a clash in the basement because they're both, they were like, DWE must have bought him, said, yo, I know this guy Monkstar, and someone must have bought Kano.
Oh, so that was literally before Kano had joined
him. Yeah. This is pre-Kano joining. This is pre-Kano joining. And they were like, Kano and Monkstar were clashing. And Monkstar for me was one of the most underrated.
Monkstar till this day, let's have it right, let the truth be known again.
Just was, it's because some people don't know Monkstar. Monkstar is DWE and FTSE, and Monkstar, original member of New Am Generals, and probably the better one, if I'm
Monkstar's
being honest.
Hard. Monkstar till this day, when I listen to him, I see him putting out things, and there's a level of lyricism.
It's crazy.
It's
sort of MF Doom level stuff, bro, where, like, you know when you hear someone and they're so lyrical that you don't get it, and you just have to realize that, oh, it's because I'm dumb.
It's
not
left.
Because he's not Because like left, I mean, even just like in that original Frontline tune,
the poetry is so left, bro.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's the word I use. I said poetry.
Yeah, left.
Like, if I listen to too much Monksy, he gonna send me into Daily Duffy mode.
Times 10
all the time.
Yeah.
We got Monkster.
Yeah, Monkster's dope.
Yeah.
And then so you come out, and this is like, so grime is sort of at the place where I'm guessing it's the DVD level. So DVDs are starting to come out yet?
Yeah, DVDs have come out.
Kind of your Risky Roads freestyle. If you haven't heard the Risky Roads, no, you haven't done Risky Roads
not yet.
So when Risky Roads is later down
you
the road.
You know, when I done Risky Roads, I wasn't in Nasty Crew no more.
Okay, because Kano had left by then.
Yeah.
And then you went with Kano,
me
right?
Me and Kane left the same, like, round about the same time.
What was that like when Kano left the Nasty Crew?
Don't know, because I was with Kane.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So when you, so you joined the Nasty Crew.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How long was you in Nasty Crew for?
I'd say maybe a year, 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you sort of departed Nasty Crew, went with Kano, and then by that time you were touring with Kano, right?
Touring with Kane. But you know what? If let the truth be known, leaving wasn't really my decision.
Yeah.
Like, Marcus made the decision for me.
Okay.
Like, in all honesty, things was happening around the ends, and then the decision was made. Like, I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So we just moved.
It is what it is. Yeah. That was years ago as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now you're touring with Kano, and what's that like, sort of?
It's eye-opening. I wasn't even touring with Kano. It's me touring with Kano. Kane. Touring with Mike Skinner.
Yeah. So now are you touring with Mike Skinner now as well?
Yeah. So
you're touring with the streets and that.
So I'm fresh home, really, within a year, and I'm on this tour, and I'm backstage, and I'm watching, and I'm realizing, oh, this can become my reality if I work hard. You know. So those moments are just pinpoint moments, very inspiring.
So a year and you're already doing this.
Yeah,
that's like how do you sort of form to that, like, because it's like that's quick.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
You know, I'm not saying it didn't come with hard work. I'm not saying it was luck, but
it wasn't my life.
Mm.
So like, I'm somebody that's a realist, very self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm here on the back of.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So with that said, this is how even 2000 and life and ghetto gospel come about so quick.
Mm.
Me understanding graft,
how that happened
for Mike Skinner, how that happened for Kano. Okay, so you can't follow him around the world.
Mm.
You got to go back and graft.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
It could have been easier just to be the hype man.
Yeah, exactly. So when people weren't seeing me around Kane, they had assumed, like, what's happening with you? Like, what, my man ain't bringing you? Like, bro, like, man's thing's not based on a bringing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why me and Kane are still good to this day, because he understands like how I am as a person. Like, you know what I'm saying? And there's a mutual respect there. So I saw that and was inspired by that and said, you know what, I'm going back to the ends. I'm gonna do my mixtape still. It was 2005. I'm going to call it 2000 and Life. At this time, man was voicing the American beats and doing versions. And I'm like, I'm going to eat every version I do. And I just remember getting mad feedback for that. You know what I'm saying? And then once again, so like, look how I was thinking in that space. Once again, no one was using the DVDs to promote what? They wasn't using the DVDs to promote the CD. They were using
different freestyles.
Exactly. So when I done the Risky Roads 10-minute freestyle, what did I say? I said, Risky, fling up my cover for my CD in the middle of the freestyle. Because it's always been about, okay, what's the product? Freestyles and that are great, but there's got to be a product, you know?
Do you think there was a, why was there a lack of that idea?
I don't know, because our thing...
There were some people who were like very things, much business-minded, like Lethal B was business-minded.
Yeah, 100%, but our thing weren't really based on product.
Yeah.
It's not even based on product today. And this is what I'm saying about evolvement, to be evolving, because, listen, realistically, the scene... The culture has made how many classics? Only four classics. They're gonna say Boy in the Corner, Home Sweet Home, certified classic. They're gonna say Ghetto Gospel, arguable classic. It's a classic, but they're gonna say arguable classic just because of the numbers. And they're gonna say Gang Signs and Prayers, classic, new classic. I'll give you that.
So the grand fan in me wanted to debate that, but I'm
so yeah.
But I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Yeah.
But so what? We've only produced four classics, and how long? What? Mango rap culture, bro. We'll be sitting here all day.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Is it because it's sort of lack?
And sorry, they're gonna say freedom of speech, classic as well.
Yeah, freedom of speech. Yeah. That's great. Well, I'm trying to think of another classic. I mean, I'm stretched, man.
You're stretched. We might find another one. I might be forgetting someone, but we're stretched.
I've got personal classics like Tyler, the Crip of Devlin, and you know, stuff like
sorry,
that.
Sorry, Devlin, of course. Devlin has got a classic. Yeah. But again, just I said, Ghetto Gospel, arguable. Like, you know,
and if we're talking about commercial classics as well, you know, there's not that many commercial
How
classics.
How come?
Yeah. Why? And is it because it lacked sort of... it? Because of
Bro,
where
I'll
the
be honest
started,
with you, yeah?
People didn't have
songwriting. Bro, I'll be honest with you, yeah? And songwriting is a different thing.
Yeah.
It ain't the same as emceeing.
Well, you kind of, you know, I did see that from, cause I remember when there was the, you know, I say clash, but it was, you know, it was a friendly rivalry.
Yeah.
If we looked like from the outset, is Movement and Boy Better Know.
Yeah.
And that was the two...
Do you know what's crazy?
Things.
Everyone, look, do you know what's mad? When you're going back, yeah? Let the truth be known. A lot of these clashes didn't happen because of me.
Really?
It's just that I became the aggressor while we're clashing. I was like, are you coming for me? You sure? You sure you want to? Okay, we're warring for the next 2 years then. But it didn't start because of me. Like, on my life, Boy Better Know Movement started because Wiley wanted to be in the movement.
Wiley wanted to be in the movement?
No word of a lie.
Oh, shit.
A man was like, nah, blood.
Why no? Because Wiley at that time is, you know.
We had our own sort of sound.
Yeah.
And what we was doing.
Yeah, you know, it was more melody-based. Yeah.
Melody-based, song-wise. We weren't even... Merkston was our balance in terms of how we was going to get the rave songs.
Yeah.
Because if you just leave me, Schoolchild, Devlin and Wretch alone, bro, you're just going to get a barring fest.
Yeah.
And songs, the deep, meaningful songs.
Yeah.
Merks was the balance of...
Yeah, he had Summertime come out.
Yeah, he was that balance. I like you, man. We need to do... Yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah, because you've got to have some balance.
And everything was going well. and then
the Merks
Wiley swept, started sending, and Merks went, Joe, Wiley started sending. And I remember saying, Scorch, don't get drawn out, blood, into this. And then I remember just being in my bedroom's house, no word of a lie, locked into Logan Sama. And then my man was like, yo, Ghetto, why are you sending Scorcher, blood? I want you, you're a coward, blood.
Oh shit.
This is mad at the time to hear. like, see, at this time, that's definitely drawing me up.
Yeah.
Young,
yeah.
Those words, national radio,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. You're gonna have that.
I was in the studio an hour later. And then it went into that, and then that was basically Wiley versus the Movement, so he got what he wanted out of that, realistically. And then
because his thing was
with the Getz and Skepta clash, Let the Truth Be Known Again. That's not something that was incited by me. I remember me and Skepta's thing was weird though, because it wasn't it wasn't based on anything aggressive.
It didn't. I mean,
yeah, it didn't seem like
it
that.
It didn't seem malice.
Yeah, no, it wasn't malice, because it wasn't at all.
You know, the only, and I'm not going to talk too much about it, but the only, like, you know, thing that sort of seemed like it had more energy to it was the Bashy clash.
Yeah, yeah, there
which,
was,
you know,
with me and Skepta, there was no malice at all.
Yeah,
it was like,
and you know, that freestyle you did after the Bashy clash,
yeah,
is
yeah.
one of the fucking nicest clips. But when you say, "I'm going to make your mum go grab my stick like Lassie," I'm going to take your cigarettes, your shoelace, and your phone card, all them type of things.
Man was rude. Sorry, man.
It was that, man. It's what it was. I mean, again, it's years ago, but so it didn't.
Yeah,
seem
the Skepta one started
malice,
because,
you know,
I remember this day clearly as well. He had come back from Napa, and they used to spend a lot of time in Napa, like nearly the whole summer in Napa, cleaning up the island, just smirking. And I remember him ringing me saying, "Blood, I come back to England, and everyone sounds like you, blood. Fam, we need to clash, fam."
Yeah.
I was like, that's not really where my head is at the moment, but you know what, yeah, you know, if you want to do it, like, yeah, we do it, but we keep it respectable,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, because I got no problem with you ain't got no problem with me, he's like, yeah, no, of course, fam,
yeah.
And then we just,
and he
we
kept
just,
his word,
exactly, I kept my word, that's why it seemed like that,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
it's more enjoyable,
yeah, and just kept it like that, but I've been trying to not clash for years.
Because the last clash was the P-Money
clash.
Yeah,
P-Money clash.
And that, how come that never went to life? How come that never went to life?
Because I realised, because you know what the truth is? I realised that in the game of chess, I was being a pawn at that point. And I couldn't direct my energy where I wanted to direct my energy. And I was very frustrating time for me.
Because
here we have it. We have people saying you're the best, and they've put you in this realm because they think you're in love with clashing because of the situations you've had before, just because you stood up, but they're not knowing the full stories behind them, and we're at a time where the full stories don't matter.
Because sensationalism takes over, isn't it?
There you go.
It's a story people want to build in their mind. It's much more exciting than the
much
reality.
Much more exciting. And the truth is, behind a lot of these things, if I was just in the space that I was in now, I'd be like, blood, nah, man. You do what you know what I'm saying? But I guess that takes growing and just realising certain things, and you know what I'm saying? So, but I don't regret none of those things. But the P-Money one, it started because he had rung me and said, "Rah, fam. Yeah, man. Someone said you're sending for me. But it was like he had already made his mind up.
Yeah.
And we was both coming from ignorant places.
Yeah.
At that point. So it was just like, lad, nah.
Yeah.
Let's do it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then it was just like, it was on ice, nothing happened.
Yeah, well, it looked like it was building towards Lord of the Mics.
It was never going to Lord of the Mics.
It was never going to Lord of the Mics.
Never, ever. Never, ever.
That's what it looked like it was building.
Never, ever, because personally, I didn't, in my head, once again, business is business. Everyone says, like, Lord of the Mics. Bro, the truth is this, if at that time I was going to clash P-Money, what I would have done at that point is said, let's do our own DVD and split the cost down the middle, or let's do pay-per-view and split the cost down the middle and bag triple what we would have made of Lord of the Mics.
It's just
simple, bro. I don't think in the realm of what these MCs thinking. I've never. Do you understand what I'm saying? I survived when everyone else had deal and people feeding them. Do you understand? So my way my brain ticks is very different from how other people's brains tick. I was never gonna, like, I was thinking, bro, like, I don't have to do that on your brand. That clash is bigger than your brand.
Do you think by then it sort of just has to become down to a business decision as opposed to a music decision?
Yeah, like I don't like we're not brethren like that.
Yeah.
Like
I get you.
Like I'm sure my man wouldn't mind splitting the money 50-50 down the middle and bagging triple.
Yeah,
so that's done.
Yeah.
There's no conversation here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I was going to do that,
no
conversation there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They wanted to give man about 10 bags or something. In my head, I was thinking,
Yeah.
Well, I've done the maths.
I've talked to the accountant.
Like, I've done the maths here, you know what I'm saying?
And it doesn't sound like
but yeah, so just, just moving swiftly past all of those things, just giving people a bit of a history behind the what happened realistically behind the closed doors. Yeah, I wasn't on any of them. So a lot of clashes that happened was from my reluctancy.
Has there been any clashes recently?
Yeah, someone tried it, but I just let it, cause I'm
you tried it?
I don't even know.
Okay. All right, we'll just leave that.
About a new place, that's how I
all right, man, like, we're done with it. Matrix style.
New place, bro. Just
fair enough.
Know what I'm saying?
I think as well as, you know, because we're talking about evolution of grime.
Yeah.
It has, I think, you know, even though maybe not the sound has evolved as quick as it needed to evolve, definitely businessly it's evolved.
Yeah, business-wise, it's definitely evolved.
You know.
It's definitely evolved.
Which is good.
Which is very good.
Because people got to feed their kids and 100%, family, man. You know, I think it's, people forget that sometimes. It's like, sometimes you got to do stuff for the culture, but sometimes you got to...
Bro, nothing anybody does is for the culture.
Mm.
You know, like, I never say I done it for the culture.
Because
it's a lie.
Mm.
Like, I wanted to be who I was.
Mm.
And I made music that benefited myself and added to the culture. Let's have it right. That's actually everybody's truth. Because if it's for the culture, you wouldn't sell it. So I hate when I see people say, for the culture, sharp. Like, everyone's lying. Like, we do things that benefit us, get us to a platform, and it just so happens it adds to the culture. Amazing. Well done, everybody. But it's not actually for the culture, because if it was for the culture, my album coming out on Friday would be for free. All the concerts I put on would be for free.
When people say for the culture, because it kind
of... Bro, it's cool. It's a cool thing to say. It draws people in. All bullshitters, bro. Like, I keep it very honest with you, fam.
Yeah.
Because that's what we would do. Like, you would do that.
Yeah.
But you can't do that.
You get passionate about it. What is it about?
Because I see so many people saying, like, for the culture, for the culture.
Yeah.
For the culture. How, though? Like... Like, how, bro? Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like, we love this shit with our hearts. That's not the question here. But do you want to make money from it?
Of course.
Yes, bro. Yes, you do. Yeah. You want to be paid for your hard work that you've put in.
But if, I mean, because the thing is, if you don't do it for some type of career gain...
It's for the culture.
It's not for the culture either. It becomes, because without financial gain... There is no culture, because people can't spend time making music.
There you go. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? It can only be sort of altruistic.
Like, who's done something for? You know, when I see people just like putting on shows, I know you're like, you're not benefiting from that. That's really for the culture. Like,
Do you think workshops are for the culture?
Yeah. Sometimes it depends who's running them, because they're getting the government back in. Sometimes I know about the government back end thing.
Was it that? Was it the print something?
Yeah.
What was it?
Princess Trust.
Princess Trust. Everyone giving everyone cameras.
Yeah. So sometimes there's a deal on the back end happening you don't know about. But that for the culture thing. Yeah, for the culture. That deal for the culture. Bro, man.
And do you find that sort of, you see that sort of, not anger. But anger, what would you say is? Not anger. I don't want to say anger. Nice. Anger is too much of a harsh word for it. But sort of passion for it. Is that sort of, do you get more pissed off or more passionate about artists saying for the culture or for fans saying for the culture?
Artists. Fans are for the culture.
Yeah.
Fans.
Or they're buying into it.
Yeah, fans buying, like, they, like, we love it and they love it. But at the end of the day, for me to keep supplying you, I have to be paid for my work. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I want to talk about your album in a bit. I want to talk about this movie.
Yeah, we've got to talk about the album. Because Liv is looking at me like...
Now we're going to talk about the album.
Liv's looking at me like, that's all
Dad,
good.
Dad, you know what? I didn't even see her there. You see that? She's sitting there like an angry PR ninja.
I can read your mind, Liv. She's looking
Sorry,
at me
we're
like,
doing it for the culture.
Looking at me like...
Yeah. But I promise we will get into the album. I just need to nerd out because, you know...
No, we're both... Listen, bro, let me tell you, yeah. Let me tell you, fam. I am a fan, bro.
Yeah.
Till this day, yeah, I go and buy everybody's physicals.
Mm, damn.
Until this That's day. Great. That's what I'm That's saying. Great. This is how much of a fan I am of our culture. I love it.
I need to pick up that new D-Double album.
There you go. Yeah. Jack'em, hard. Big up Dubs. Yeah. Hard album. I love our culture, but it's just like, I know when people are bullshitting and that, bro. Mm. And I just rather, man, just be real and just tell the truth, innit, guy?
Yeah.
Man, know where it is.
It's just talking about Grime, because you might know this.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about the album, I promise.
Yeah.
What happened to Purple?
I remember Purple.
Do you remember Purple?
Big Afro.
Yeah.
RMC.
He was dope, innit?
Northwest.
What happened to that dude?
See, look at that. I just tapped into the brain and got the information from where it needed. Do you see? I don't know, you know, bro.
Yeah.
My music's a hard thing to do, bro.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know where anybody goes, but I know about those moments of like...
Should I?
Yeah, because it comes with so many... Bro, it can actually take your mental stability.
Mm.
It's not a game.
Mm.
Like, it can take your mental stability.
I think it's, you know, I can only talk about it from a comedy standpoint. Yeah. That's the only way I can
No, but it's probably the same.
No. That's what I'm saying. I'm likening it. There is a certain sense that it's hard when your love becomes your job, because it's like, again, you have a love for this culture, or whatever that culture is, and then you know the only way you can pursue it to the fullest form is to try and gain financial compensation off it. And there is that thing of compromise, and then you've got to deal with this and you've got to deal with that. And it can, and I don't take it lightly, because I've known it personally, that it can fuck with your spirit, man.
That's right.
In your mental state, because, if it doesn't work out, you invest everything into
that's
it.
That's right.
And it's something you love, you know, and that's, you know, like a lot, and it's that sort of thing of that thought you have before you go into it, and you go like, you know, you're iffing and you're butting and am I? And it's because of that, and you realize that fear you had comes true.
Yeah.
And that's a hard point to get over, you know? But let's talk about the new album, man.
Let's talk about
that. I'm looking forward. Let's talk about the new album, bro. What's it called? When's it out? What's good with it, man?
Ghetto Gospel, the New Testament.
Yes, it's September 14th. It's the sequel?
Yeah, the sequel. Well,
or is it a new body of work? Do you like to call it a sequel?
I'd say it's a new body of work, but it feels like...
All of your work seems linear to me.
Yeah.
All of it feels like they all stand, especially if you listen to them in order.
Yeah.
There's definitely a progression.
Yeah.
And I think that's what... And it really summed it up in your sort of the tune you did when it was the J. Clark, the Getz and the Ghetto.
Yeah.
And it sort of summed up the sort of the progression of it, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, tell me about the new album. So when's it coming out?
It's September the 14th, this Friday.
Dope.
It's me being free creatively, very free.
In what sense?
In the sense of like, okay, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about on the kind of rhythms I want to talk about them on. Like, it's just like very selfishly made. Very selfishly made, you know what I'm saying? You want a new artillery?
Yeah.
I can't give you that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not there right now.
Yeah.
So I can't think about giving you a new artillery, because it's not going to feel authentic.
And
but here I am right now. This is where I am.
Mm.
Black Rose.
Mm.
Do you understand? Like,
yeah, okay.
So it's like, okay, so let's have it right. Everyone wants to feel like you, the person that they love, you're the realist.
Mm.
But how real can you really be? Like, how real? Like, what are you going to talk about on this album?
Well,
do you have commitments to your fans that loved you 10 years ago, and you feel like you have to do something for them?
Mm.
And which brings me to the point, it's why it's called Ghetto Gospel New Testament, because when I made Ghetto Gospel, the first one, that's the same bag I was in. Like, okay, everyone's talking about, everyone's repeating an 8-bar lyric. I'm going to do a 32 verse and a 16 chorus. Because why? Because music has no rules and I feel like it. You know, I'm going to write a tune, CPB, talking about the cycle.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about death, a closest thing to heaven. I'm going to talk about my mum, blessed with a gift. I'm going to talk about being blessed with this gift that I got from God. No one was talking about at that time. You and me, I'm going to talk about friendships, relationships. I'm going to talk about the relationship that I have with my girlfriend. Understand, I'm going to talk about the ups and downs that we go through, you know, and so on and so on. And reason why this is called Ghetto Gospel New Testament is because I'm here again in terms of like, this is what I'm going to talk about, because you know what, I feel like that. So it's a weird feeling to know that you got some of the most greasiest lyrics on earth, but every time you hear about a 16 to 17 year old dying, you feel some sort of pain because you're older now. So you got to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, and it's, if we're going back to the Jay-Z point, I think that, you know, I've heard the interview with Scarface.
Yeah.
He's a fucking, one of my favorite rappers, Scarface. Yeah. And he was doing the interview and he goes, you know, there's nothing worse than when a rapper talks about popping bottles and he's 40. And there's nothing worse than that. And I think there, and I think it kind of is now, because you're, you know, how old are you, my brother?
33.
You're 33.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to talk like a 33-year-old.
Have to, bro.
You know what I'm saying? And there is, and it's that thing of, you know, you're talking about, you know, 17-year-olds getting stabbed.
Because my mind state is actually there. Like, so before, yeah, I'd be numb to certain things because it's around me. It was around me too much. But now when I watch the news, I hear about certain things, and like, yeah, man, I find myself saying, what's wrong with these kids, man?
Yeah, that guy.
I'm
now
saying, what's wrong with the kids? Oh my days. Okay, so this has to reflect in my music, or I'm not going to be able to listen to my own music. But let's not get it twisted, because at the same time, I'm going to have a moment, because music is what? Music is a variety of moments and emotions captured on tracks.
Have you always done that? Has there ever been a time where you made a tune and you couldn't listen to it because you knew it wasn't real?
Yeah, I've just not brought it out. Like trying to recreate things.
Yeah.
That's the problem. What you're saying about nostalgic feelings. And now I have a one-to-one with my fans. Before there was no one-to-one. I'm having a one-to-one with my fans via Twitter, via Instagram, via all these different social networks. So I know exactly what you're feeling, thinking.
Are you seeing this new album? Is it heavy on the features? Because one thing I do like about your work is you have features, but they never feel like,
I tried to put go and that, get a feature.
You know what I'm saying though? It never feels like, oh, he's got that guy, because it, I think there was a sort of error. And I ain't going to put the person's name on blast, because I think they're a great artist. And I understand why, you know, I'm not being a musician, but, you know, being in the show, I can kind of understand, you know, I've done worse things for this fucking showbiz shit. But it's that sort of, you know, they have this sort of R&B singer and the song is about strife. And then they have the sort of, they sing the verse and then they do the rap. And you know what I'm saying?
I find it hard to work with people. That's why throughout my career, all the features have made sense.
So who you got featured on this album?
Koji Radical.
Dope.
Wretch. Chip. And the rest are like singers. Roxanne Maurice. Roxana Maurice, sorry. Lil Sims. I'm finding it hard to think right now. But not like, it will feel right to you.
If you're honest at the moment.
Because I do it backwards. I don't do it like, I want to do a song with this person. Come studio, I want to do a song with you. Nah, I do it like, I got this song that you're going to fuck up, you know. Trust me, it's right up your alley. Like that, the vibe I can hear where you, I can hear where you're, what you're going to bring to the table at this point on this song.
You got Devlin on the album?
No.
Because it wasn't a song that was...
There wasn't a song, exactly. Yeah. So always people look for the me and Devlin tune, the me and Kano tune.
And it's a good thing.
Yeah,
because I mean, you and Devlin on the track,
sick. But there wasn't,
Yeah. The if record, it's not the right time.
There wasn't the record. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Are you doing another Movement mixtape?
Probably not.
No? The Movement's disbanded now?
Yeah, that's okay. Disbanded.
All right, we'll leave that there.
Yeah. All my mates, though.
No. I'm saying we'll leave it there. Yeah. I'll leave it there as a fan because I don't want it. In my head, I still want to think, there'll be another one.
Yeah. Jamal.
Tell me about this because I've seen the poster. You got a movie coming out.
Yeah, The Intent, The Come Up, number 2.
Okay. Yeah. And when's that out?
That's out next week.
September. Is that out next week?
Yeah, September.
Same time as the album?
The album's this week, Friday. Uh-huh. Movie premieres next week, Wednesday, September the 9th.
How you like acting?
I loved it. Creatively, it took me to a new place, which was, I felt like I'd been in a comfort zone of making music for so long that there was other places creatively I could go to and really explore that would reflect when I got back in the studio. I didn't know, like, even having to tap into an emotion so quickly because I'm acting and I'm acting not as me, but I have to tap into sadness on cue. I have to tap into anger on cue. I have to tap into love on cue. Made me, when I went back to the studio and I had to tap into different melodies and feelings, it was quicker. It was a quicker process than it was before.
You're finding the way to tap into that stuff. You know?
Yeah.
You're finding the sort of trigger points.
Yeah, immediately are. Like just thinking about different situations and being in that zone.
Who's the character you're playing?
The guy's name is Jay. Very, very different from me as a person in the way he reacts to things. Yeah, so I was really acting.
How long was you filming for?
Shooting for 3 months.
Damn, that's a long
every
shoot.
Every day.
That's a long shoot, bro.
Every day.
Bro. Yeah, it's not easy, is it? Them grinds there.
It's not easy at all, man.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's not easy.
So you see, and what's the single on the album that you're coming out?
So Black Rose is out now, which is circulating everywhere. But I didn't really want to do the single setup. So we released Black Rose, and then another song called Preach comes out tonight, which Target will be premiering.
Okay. So there's a single out tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another one.
And that's dropping. What time is that dropping on? So I can watch it myself.
Midnight.
All right. That's right. This will go out after that midnight, so it'll be out now while you're listening. Because I think, you know, there is a sort of sense of, to know what this album is now, I want people to listen to this album now and know where the fuck you came from.
Yeah, man,
100%, to make this body of work.
100%. It's been a long journey.
And what you see about this album? What's most proud about this album?
I think it's my best work in terms of sonics,
and
just understanding different things musically. Understanding that you don't have to do. Imagine like the art of song making. So like knowing when to be super lyrical and not being super lyrical, the balance of certain things.
How'd you make that decision? What's that decision?
To get the point across.
Oh, is it to get the
Point across. I could do something that's gonna escape. Understanding the listener. That's what it really is. Like understanding the listener and knowing, okay, at this point you want somebody to be in by 4 bars and not forward the song because they feel like they don't understand what you're saying because you went over their head 3 to 4 times. That's a hard decision for a lyricist to make. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm gonna straight to the point. I'm gonna draw you in straight to the point. At this point you're gonna know exactly what picture I'm painting. And this is very audio visual. Like when you listen to it, you're gonna feel like I can shoot a video for every song. Because that's how I wrote it. Like every song is a treatment for a video.
How long did it take you to make the album?
I'd say about 2 years.
2 years.
I done a show, Ghetto Gospel, 10 years at Roundhouse.
Yeah.
And I'm known for high energetic performances and shelling. Because of resources at the time, I never got to tour Ghetto Gospel, the first one. So I never knew how certain songs had connected, like Closest Thing to Heaven and songs of a lower energy but emotion filled, of like love emotion filled. So to see how people reacted to those songs
inspired you to make these songs.
Eye opener for me.
And what song would you say is you most proud of with this tune?
There's a song on there I think is the best song I've ever made in my life.
Okay, and what song's that?
It's called Next to Kin.
And why is that the best song you've ever made?
Because I was able to talk from four different perspectives
mm-hmm.
without being judgmental.
Mm. And so just so we can break down this song. God, that's interesting thing you bring up. What's the three? So can you give me the premise of the tune?
I can, no problem. So the song's about what's going on right now in terms of the deaths and so many kids dying.
Yeah.
But from being involved, like, I've been nicked for my own brethren's murder. Uh-huh. Like, that's how, like we talk about what man's been surrounded by or been involved in. Like, man's been arrested for my own brethren's murder. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Obviously not me, but certain things like this. So it's like understanding the mum's perspective and then having our own perspective on this and then talking from, like, if your brethren was alive right now, that died at that time, where you lot was heavily repping the postcode, to seeing how you lot have grown now and forgotten about this beef, what's the perspective from beyond the grave? You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. So one of the perspectives is the deceased.
Yeah, deceased from beyond, like, because the truth of the matter is, mum's the only person who stops living.
Mm.
You know, like that, like, that is the truth. Like, mum is the only person who stops living.
Mm.
Like, the man them that make it past a certain age are just cracking on, bro.
Mm.
Just feeding their kids. Shocked that
becomes a distant memory.
Shocked that they even made it this far.
Yeah.
And don't want to put anything that jeopardizes the way they are living at this point, because they have made it this far.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So when I listen to that song, I feel like, yeah, man, because I understand, yeah, how Put the Knives sounds.
Mm.
Like, Put the Knives Down.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
know how that connects to a teenager.
Well, yeah, it's like a nice sentiment. It's just like a nice thing to say.
Yeah, but
it's not, actually, there's no reality to that. There's no connection. Because
the reality is, when I step out of my house without my knife, I might die, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I feel like, what's weird, this song came about because I was always saying no to campaigns.
Mm.
Like, Getz, can you come and play football? We're doing a football match with celebrities against knife crime. No?
Mm.
What fucking sense does that make? Not in so many words, but I felt like, oh, fam, you're being negative and you're not doing nothing to help the situation.
Mm.
And you keep saying no to all of these things.
Mm.
And I felt like, okay, what are you...
Well, you can... I mean, now you're doing it a better way. Now you're doing it in a way that you know is actually a connecting force. Not
exactly.
You know,
'cause the thing is,
the people who you're trying to reach aren't watching the football game.
My point, exactly. Mm. So I felt like, you know what? I've not been explaining my reasons for saying no to all of these things.
Mm.
And I know it's a nice sentiment. Like you say, people want to feel like they're doing something.
Mm.
But from someone that's been involved in certain things or been around people that are still involved in certain things, I understand that shit ain't connecting. Like, that's proper not connecting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And then it's just like a real understanding of the people that are telling, man, put the knives down, brother. Going to someone else's country and bombing the shit out of them and killing kids, brother.
Mm.
And acting like the youths are monsters.
Mm. Some type of irony to it. Yeah.
Mad hypocritical.
Mm.
So then I'm just in all of these places because I'm not stupid.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm. Okay, let's have world peace.
Mm.
The best teacher on earth, his name is Example.
Mm.
Real as shit.
Mm.
Like, let's have world peace then.
Because
these kids ain't monsters. The truth is this: that you watched his brethren die right in front of him. He's coming out of his house 2 weeks from now. He's scared as shit. He ain't gonna say that though. He's a kid that takes a lot of pride to say that. He's rolling with his knife. He sees that person that killed his brethren or someone that was involved in that. He feels some type of way. Like, these are all real life feelings. That unless you sat down without a judgmental preconception and talk to these people and they've had a real life conversation with you or you're really from that, you ain't gonna understand this shit.
Mm.
Like, you're not gonna understand it at all. So when I was writing Next to Kin, I was trying to write from that space of even when I was talking to the mum. Like, like the mum don't speak. She watch her son go sleep from a front row seat. Like, even those first three lines, like, the son, the mum don't sleep. She watch her son go from a front row seat. Like, seeing it, like, you know what I'm saying? And then even, like, our perspective of, like, the postcode war, really and truly, no one knows how it started anymore. It, like, it goes down so many generations. You're just banging for a postcode no one owns houses in.
You don't decide when the lights go off. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, so it's like,
and then
trying to understand
when you hit that note on this album.
Yeah.
How did that feel when you hit that?
That
note
felt good.
Because then you know that, you know. And was that the last track you made for the album?
No. Like, I've watched people listen to that track and be like, and be choked up and shit. I'm like, okay, that's how I wanted it to feel. I wanted it to have that moment where you think about what we're doing here.
And what's the sort of, you see, for the album?
Yeah.
What do you want people to get out of this album?
Perspectives, man. It's about perspectives. You understand? Because at the same time, I got a greasy tune on there as well. But it's about perspective. It's about understanding that by no means am I perfect. Like, let's stop the celebrity worship. Like, but all I can do at this point is be the realest me. Like, just the realest me. Like, I gotta say what's on my mind. Don't second guess gets. If you have to second guess me, I'm not as being real as I can be. Don't second guess me. You're not meant to second guess me. You're meant to know exactly how I feel at the point I feel that emotion. Just know how I feel, because I'm not perfect. Like, I'm not. I'm just like any of you. Like, if you come to work and leave work angry on that day and you make a track, you might say things that tomorrow morning when you come back to work, yeah, and you're feeling good and happy, you might be saying some shit, like, as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? But it's just that those moments for people that are not artists are not recorded. So you get to move past it. One of the moments that make me cringe is the Bashy moment. Why? Because at this point, when we've sat down as grown men, we're super cool. That's a super cool guy. And then people bring it up, and I don't repost the shit or nothing like that, because I just feel like...
It's out there in the world.
Like, okay, so in your mind, I didn't grow up from then.
Because
that was such a moment in your life. But guess where I am now? Like, guess how I feel right this second. You understand?
Yeah.
I'd rather diffuse a situation.
Yeah, and it's about putting that into the... And putting that energy into this now.
That's
what I'm saying, is that's, you know, to round it back up.
Again,
is that's the lineage, isn't
I
it?
I guess, and then I got there's a song about cancer on the album, just to let you know what else. It's called Jess. Jess was a beautiful soul, my friend. She passed away from osteosarcoma. That's a type of cancer that's never been cured, a bone cancer. She was very upfront. Like, you didn't need to second guess her. One day she rang me. She said, this is exactly what she said. "Yo, you pussy up." I'm like, "What, go on, Jess?" She's like, "Yes, I know you. Yeah, you're going to try and make some song about me when I die and that. But hey, what I'm saying, I want to hear the song." I'm like, "How, Jess, man? That's mad. And you're not dying, my G. Come on, man. You ain't dying, my G." She's like, "No, on a serious thing, man. I'm not surviving this." So I went to sleep with that on my mind. I woke up with a concept in the morning. I said, "Where are you?" I rang her. She's like, "At home." I said, "I'm coming to get you now. We're going to go studio." And when we got to the studio, I told her, "What I'm going to do is speak from your perspective on the track. I want you to tell me everything you felt from the moment you was told you got cancer, from that moment onwards. Tell me what you feel about the people who was around you at that time, your friendships, your relationships, where they stand now, you know, everything you feel." And we wrote from that perspective. And she actually even doubled some of the lyrics. So in some of the ad-libs is her, you know? So just to give the album a bit of a summary, it's where we're coming from. There's a tune called Window Pane. That's the story about when I got arrested for my bredgins, you know what I'm saying, what I was going through at that time.
Yeah, it's a fucking honest album, man.
Yeah, yeah, because that's the only place.
It's an honest album.
It's the only place I could go to at this point.
Yeah, I guess there is a certain, and you know, it's music. You know, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a diminishing way to say that.
Yeah.
It's entertainment, and I think there's only, you know, because I mean, you know, even if it comes from a real place, there is sort of sensationalized matter on it. You know?
Yeah, of course.
And it's there's only so much you can talk about that when you kind of have to actually really delve into the reality of it.
Man dug deep. Like really deep, really, really deep. Window Pane's about like maybe a kind of follow up from Next to Kin, like you know, like I remember my mum not being able to sleep until I got home, not understanding what that was. Like, just go sleep, man. I'm good, man. Like not understanding until I become a parent. Like, yo, that must be mad, you know, like not knowing where your son is or what your son's doing, and then you take your mum's calls for granted at that point. You don't answer. Not knowing that she's fucking worried, like super worried, like the worry she feels. Like I thought I knew love, and I say this to everybody, I never actually knew love till I had my child. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a different type of love. Like that was like
unconditional.
We're gonna drop dead right now for anything you need. Like it was like overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? There was that. And then there's also like Gas on the album, because the show's got to be lit.
I mean, listen, man. It's not better than a bit of Gets Gas.
Yeah, the show's got to be lit.
It's got to have some energy.
You've got
to have some vibes. Yeah. But I think that's the balance. And I think that's the, you know, I think it's, you know, there's a reason why yin and yang is a worldwide known sign.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, it's good to have, you know, deep stuff. But, you know, you got to remember, you got to fucking smile in this life too.
Exactly.
Because it ain't going to last forever.
Exactly.
You better smile or something, bruv. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's something for every emotion that a human being can feel on the album.
Great, bruv. Man, I'm. Do you know what, man? Like, I'm gassed for this album.
Thank you.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing it, and listening to it. Are you touring the new?
We're going to be touring from January, all the regionals.
Okay.
So just keep tuned. Follow me at the Real Gets Everything Dictionary Spelling, THEGHETTS. Sorry, forgot out real. The Real Gets. THEREAL.
You're going to be following some next brother.
THEGHETTS. That's Twitter. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, that's all my socials. Feel free to hit me up anytime and tell me what you think of the album as well.
Great.
Feedback is appreciated and welcomed.
But I just want to say thank you for coming, bro. And, you know, it's doing this podcast is weird, man, because I've got to speak to people who, you know, I've listened to for years genuinely, man, I don't say this lightly. And I think it's a weird thing, especially within the, you know, similar, you know, where we grew up similar. It's... to give someone praise is looked down upon.
We have to get out of that as well.
Yeah, but genuinely, man, like I've been listening to your music
for
a long time, and I'm a big fan.
I hope you enjoy this one, man.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, brother. But thank you for coming down, man. I appreciate it. The album's going to be great, and thank you so much, my brother.
Jamali 9000. Jamali 9.
Jamali.
Jamali 9000 from Mars. Just land over Max with the computer. My wings expand on Earth, around the universe. The superhero just written a verse. The J on my shirt for Jamali. Never using the Molly. Walking down the galaxy, computers on my hand. Built in like I'm a man. Machine since I was growing up with children. Mechanical rapper putting a robot flow together. I made a steal in any weather. Disguised more than Spider-Man in a sweater. Optimist way after prime. Standing on top of the world, I gotta shine. Just like my pop's new Cadillac CT6. The patch on my eye, I be Rick. The lyrics are slick, like new now wave grease.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.